Alan Gring Productions presents the Illinois State Collegiate Compendium, Academic Lectures in Business and Economics. This is Business Finance, FIL 240, Section 4 for Autumn Semester 2016. Lecture 15, delivered on October 11, 2016. The title of this lecture is Review for Exam 1.
Tonight, review for Exam 1. Exam 1 is 5 questions. You answer 4 of them. Don't answer all 5 and then say, give me credit for the ones I get the best scores on. No, because I'm grading 400 exams and 4 questions on each one. That's a lot like work as it is. I will be live tweeting as I grade them. So if you're on Twitter and you find Professor Kring, at Professor Kring, you'll see pictures and comments as my cats help me grade your exams over the weekend. There's a rubric up right now, how you answer my questions, what the grading is all about, how you can craft your answers. No answer should be more than 2 sentences. Don't put 5 sentences and put stupid commas to make it look like you've got 2. I was an English teacher, and I was, if you've heard of grammar Nazis, I wasn't a grammar Nazi. I am the grammar Gestapo. Okay, so watch it on that. When you answer, say what you have to say and be done with it. Spelling is right. Make sure you spell everything correctly. Don't abbreviate ever. Also, an equation is not an answer. I really don't want to see any equations. There are no calculations on my in-class written exams. You just tell me an answer. Some of them are just a definition. Some of them you have to get a little deeper into it. But if you're writing a lot, you're probably showing me you don't understand the answer. And yes, I do have a bullshit stamp, and I got it re-inked at the beginning of this semester. When you answer my questions, don't ever start an answer with I feel, or I believe, or I think. We're business people. We don't care about feelings. We don't care about your beliefs. And don't say, I think. That's weakness. Just tell me your answer and be done with it. Don't use text languaging on me. I had one student, last year, she said, I have no clue what the answer is. Lol. Don't ever lol my ass, ever. No. Please. And just say what you have to say. In the business world, and I hear this so often, first the business executives are saying these kids can't write. Well, if they come through me, they can by the time they get to the last exam. And they also say, they give me these long-winded, I want a short answer. Remember, if you've got someone who is asking you a question, especially a boss, that boss doesn't want your dissertation. He wants you to give a sharp, precise answer. Show me you know what I'm asking, the answer to what I'm asking about. That's what I ask of you. And it will make me very happy when I'm grading if I see this is clearly the right answer. I can just finish it off and go on to another test. That's what makes me very happy. You're going to get a lot of good grades that way from me. Now, I can guarantee you after the first test, when you get it back, your feelings are going to be hurt. You're going to be pissed off at me because I took off. Well, that was the right answer. That's what I said. No, that's not what you said. And all this kind of stuff. Or that's a complete sentence. No, it's not. So you're going to be upset with me a little bit about that. But you're going to get good and you're going to get strong. By the time you're out of here, you're going to be battle ready for that world out there. Now, what I've got is about 20 questions. Your questions will come from these. I think I'm going to cover all of them. I might miss one. But I'm going to give you some questions here. and then you are going to ask me questions. Well, is this going to be on there? Or is that going to? And if it isn't, I'm going to say, no, that's not going to be on the exam. So this isn't just you watching a TV show. You're going to dynamically interact with me. Well, you know, I could actually just put the exam up on the overhead. No, I don't want to do that. 20. What is money and what are the three types? By the way, as I said, you get a 4x6 note card to bring to it. No cell phone, nothing like that. You're not going to call your mom and see if she knows the answer. But you do get a 4x6, and you keep it because you get to bring that to your final. See, that means you don't have to rewrite a new note card because the final is nothing but a comprehensive. It's a comprehensive. So that note card isn't just for this exam. What else do I have here? Explain why economic profit differs from accounting profit and which one is larger. Again, explain why economic profit is different from accounting profit and which one is larger. Now, by the way, the exam, the questions would not be verbatim probably, but they'll be the same basic question. And there is nothing on this exam that I don't cover in class. These are lecture. This is a lecture-based exam. The book might talk about this stuff too, but I don't give a rat's ass. What I care about is, did you listen in my classroom? Were you here? Did you listen? Did you go to the podcast? Or did I waste my time? After the liabilities of a corporation have been satisfied in a timely manner, the company can use the residual funds in two ways. What are they? Again, after the obligations of a company have been satisfied in a timely manner, the company can use the residual funds in two ways. What are they? From the most to the least frequently used, what are the tools of monetary policy the Fed has available? From the most to the least frequently used, what are the three tools of monetary policy the Federal Reserve has available? What are the three tools of monetary policy the Fed has available? Go ahead. No. A list is never acceptable. You have to frame. I'm really glad you asked that. As a matter of fact, don't give me a list. Ever give me a list. You just say the three tools of monetary policy from the most to the least frequently used are, and then you give me those. Thank you for asking that, because otherwise someone's going to think that's a, no, it's a complete sentence. And not a colon after are. Don't do grammatical bad grammar. Punctuation. Give two reasons why accounting information is insufficient for financial analysis. Give two reasons why accounting information is insufficient for financial analysis. Now, just to help you a little bit focus, because it might seem like that's a diffuse question. It's not, but it might seem to someone who's in a first finance class. What I want you to be keying on are those costs. In accounting, all they talk about are historical costs. We don't care what happened. History is over for finance. All we care about is what's going to happen. So these costs that we see in financial statements, those aren't enough for us. That doesn't tell us what we want to know. What we want to know are costs that accountants aren't supposed to, can't do, like expected future costs, opportunity costs, replacement costs. Remember those costs that I talked about that finance people want to know about? Those aren't in accounting statements. That's why the accounting information is not enough for us. We use it, but it's not enough. And again, that I get hate mail from accounting professors. I heard you said some awful things about us again. You know, no, I didn't. Well, yes, I did, but no, I didn't. They have their job, and we as financial people have our job. They try to sell themselves as being able to do our job, which really makes my butt hurt. But that's something that I transfer to them. What is meant by market cap? What is meant by market cap? Now, market. Let me explain. First of all, market cap is the price per share times the number of shares outstanding. That gets you only half of your points. You don't have to tell me that. That's a formula. You're telling me a formula. That doesn't show me that you know anything about the answer. Market cap, tell me what it means. When I see that Google's market cap is $639 billion or whatever the heck it is now, tell me what that means. Well, yeah, that's the price per share times the number of shares outstanding. That doesn't give me any information whatsoever as to whether you really know what that number means. Madam, do you know what that number means?
Market cap?
Yeah.
It's the value of the company.
Not the value of the company. It's the value of the equity. Yeah. So in other words, remember on your accounting statement, you can look in the balance sheet and they have the total shareholders' equity. That's book cap or book value. And then what we care about is the market cap. What does the market say the value of the equity position is? Interestingly, yeah, go ahead. Oh, yeah. I'm not going to try to wade in there and try to look at both sides of your card. I mean, I'd be pawed and mauled by the you animals up there by the time I got to the center of the room. Yeah, no, I'm not going to do that. But, yes, of course. I had this. It was better like 3-4 years ago. This guy was cheating. He had notes on his arm. Dude, I told you could have a note card. You did? Yeah, you see, that's why you come to class sometimes, you fool. He was right. He could note it. You could get blood poisoning from that. Anyway, who has a prior claim on the cash flow of the corporation? And who has a residual claim? Who has a prior claim on the cash flows of a corporation? And who has the residual claim? Again, who has the prior claim? And who has the residual claim? That was week 2 of the course. One of the most fundamental things. I'll even tell you one answer that just kind of floors me. And I see it, and I'll see if I can save someone from getting hate written on their test. I have this answer. Well, the debt holders and the stockholders have the prior claim, and then the bondholders have the residual claim. That is so wrong that it's interdimensionally wrong. That is dark matter wrong. That is Doctor Who going into his phone booth and coming out facing in the middle of a carnival wrong. That is you as a political candidate not checking to make sure your mic is not hot before you start talking filthy. Okay, that's how wrong that is. Okay, not mentioning any current events. Okay, an increase in debt-to-total assets ratio generally has an upside and a downside. What are they? Again, an increase in the total debt-to-total asset ratio has an upside and a downside. What are they? I'll even give you a hint with this one. The upside has to do with something I called OPM. The downside has to do with having so much debt that you can't pay your bill if things go bad in your sales. That's a hint. That's certainly not an answer, but it helps you with that one. What are the three duties of the Federal Reserve? What are the three duties of the Federal Reserve? That's not the same as what are the three tools of monetary policy. Conducting monetary policy is one of the duties, and within that there are three tools. But what I'm asking you for are what are the three duties traditionally the Fed had. What is flight to quality? What is flight to quality? What is flight to quality? I was going to walk. I usually walk all the way around, but that thing is making this sound, that, and it comes through on the podcast mic like some kind of evil entity, you know, telling me to eat its dog or something. What happens? Oh, here. Oh, that. Oh, I asked that. That guy. Oh, sorry. What happens to the price of a bond as the term approaches zero?
Either it goes to 1,000 or zero.
I love it when you talk filthy to me. Animal. Dinner. Denny's. Grand Slam. Okay. yeah. What happens to the, and again, I'll repeat the question. What happens to the price of a bond as the term approaches zero? What is the relationship between rising and falling interest rates and project values? What is the relationship between rising and falling interest rates and project values? You, madam, are a project. The Federal Reserve is going to eventually raise interest rates. That will change your value as a human being. That's right. The Fed has that much power. Isn't that awesome? It's kind of creepy when you think about it. So, what is the relationship between the value of any project, any asset that creates any kind of cash flow, and interest rates? As interest rates go up, project values, comma, as interest rates go down, project values. That's all you have to say. One compound sentence. And if you don't remember, a compound sentence is a sentence with two independent clauses and a comma separating them with a conjunctive adverb, like and. Yes. As interest rates rise, go up or down, what is the relationship between rising and falling interest rates and the values of projects? Values of projects. So in other words, just say, as interest rates rise, the value of projects goes, and as interest rates fall, the value of projects. That's all you have to write for a perfect answer. Perfect. Again, you're not writing Shakespeare here. In some cases, the concept is difficult, but if you can break it down to just a clear, straightforward statement, you show me you get it. And all of the complication that blows people away and chases people into away from business as their major or finance as their specialization, it's really not that hard. Once you get the hang of it and you see that underneath all the crap, all the numbers, all the formulas, the concepts are not that difficult to get a hold of. Oh, a mother's work is never done. What are the components of the risk premium? What are the components of the risk premium? And all you say is the components of the risk premium are, and give them. That's your full answer. If you haven't figured it out, what I'm doing is I'm shaping your way of communicating in the business environment, getting you away from narratives and journal entries and feelings, and getting you down to the core of the answer. stripping away all of the fluff. And if you can get the master this, you're going to find that this gives you a very great, a significant power in the workplace. And I've had many former students tell me over the years, yeah, this is what I needed to know. Okay. Why is equity capital costlier than debt capital? Again, why is equity capital costlier than debt capital? Explain two costs critical to financial analysis that are not in accounting statements. Explain two costs critical to financial analysis that are not in financial statements. Now, watch the wording. In this one, I said explain. So it's not just telling me two costs. It is telling me those costs and what they are. Like telling me if you were to put, I'm not saying this is something you would put, but if you were to put opportunity cost, you would want to put in a non-restrictive adjective clause, comma, the cost of the best foregone alternative, comma, and some other cost, comma, explain what that cost is. So make sure that where you see explain, you tell me what the cost is. Don't give me a thesis on it. Just tell me what it is, definitionally. What is the relationship between risk and return? What is the relationship between risk and return? Here, watch it. There's a trap in this one. Because I explained that it isn't just return that matters. It's expected return. So don't just say, the greater the risk, the greater the return, you'll lose half the points. If you say that, because return doesn't matter. You know, it's so easy for us to show, well, this guy's system, if we look back and apply this system in 2014, we would find that he made a lot of money by this time. That doesn't do anything. All that matters is what we expect. History is dead for us. It really is. So we can talk about expectation of return, but we can't talk about return except on a historical level. And history is not really what we are interested in. It's what we're going to do next. What does the beta of a stock measure? Now you need to go back and find my definition of beta and do it verbatim. Don't play with this one, because leaving any part of the answer out means that you're going to just get creamed on this one, because beta is a technical thing. It's a short answer, but you've got to make sure that you include all of the parts of it. Especially the part that people leave out is the part where you finish off by saying relative to, and go on from there. That's the part that's left out, and that's the part that makes it so that you lose half the points. Huh? Oh, sorry. Okay. Yeah, what does a beta of a stock measure? Now remember, I exposed you to beta early in the course. I told you what it means and what it doesn't mean. If I see, for example, a beta of 0.3, oh, that's a safe stock. No, that doesn't mean that at all. That is a safe stock in a well-diversified portfolio. But on its own, that stock could be an absolute monster of volatility. Buying stocks naked, beta means nothing. Beta means something only in context. It's sort of like, you're a great guy, right? But if there were, I would have to qualify that. In our society. Now, if you were, let's say, in a society of mountain trolls, you know what mountain trolls are, right?
Killer. Yeah, trying to eat fat boy.
That's me. So you're a killer, you're a cannibal, you're trying to eat me. Okay? You see, it depends on what society. Now, in this society, you're an incredible guy. Nice, wonderful. But in a mountain troll society, you are terrible. And you, if you were in a hobbit society, you would have big, ugly ass feet. Hairy. I don't know what I don't know why you want these examples like this. Okay, last one. On it, although increasing increasing return on assets is desirable. ROA going up, that's great. Wonderful. But you can make ROA go up and it is a very bad sign. Remember I told you how you can make ratios do what you want and that can make them look good, but they're not. So the question is, although an increasing return on assets is desirable, what would be a reason such an increase would be a bad sign? Again, although an increasing return on assets is desirable, what would be a reason such an increase could be a bad sign? And remember what I told you, the story I told you about the oil refineries. Remember I told you how you can make return on assets go up and all you're doing is making the total assets go down by not replacing them and they letting them depreciate downward, milking them to drive net income up. The numerator goes up, the denominator goes down, so the ratio ROA is increasing, you look like a bunch of heroes, until entire workforces on platforms and on oil refinery, around oil refinery cracking towers are being killed by explosions and whole communities are being evacuated, as happened in the 2000s, in the early years of this century, new century, because you can make ROA go up for all of the wrong, irresponsible reasons. And finally, what is the agency dilemma? What is the agency dilemma? I spent an entire lecture talking about the agency dilemma. Oh yeah, and a related question, what is fiduciary duty? What is fiduciary duty? Such a hugely important concept, and I'm pretty sure that the only place they mention it is in business law instead of talking about it in every business class. So I told you about it. Yeah, go ahead. What is fiduciary duty? And the other one that was related, remember the lecture I did on agency? What is the agency dilemma? And that has to do with incentives. Remember it? The agency dilemma. The agent is supposed to do something, but the agent has incentive to do something else. Now it's your turn. Ask me questions. And remember, if you ask me, is this going to be on the test and it's not, I will say no. It's not going to be on the test. So I can shorten your study cycle, or at least simplify it somewhat. If you've got questions. Got anything at all? Yeah. No. Nothing has to do with solving an equation. You should not give me a number, no numbers, and no equations. Don't answer me, here's the equation. That's not an answer. I mean, you can give it if you just want to waste your time, but I want really no equations in your answers, and no numbers, and no calculations. Yeah. I'll give you one. No. Am I a great professor or what? Yeah? Oh, really? No, you're not going to tag team everyone here. What was number 18? I don't... I'll tell you this, that's a possibility. And the reason for that one is the one about increasing return on assets, ROA. I'm not saying it will be, but you got to appreciate that I do want to show, I want to show the world, and I'll explain this to you very quickly in a minute here, once I accidentally have a mic problem. But I want to make sure that you show that you have an understanding of ratios and all of that kind of stuff. And so, of course, I really want you to learn about leverage and return on assets and debt to total asset ratios and all that. Anything else? You can ask me one more of those questions if you want. You know what? Yeah, go ahead. In a second. No. Yeah, go ahead. That saves you two that you have to study. I think that actually perked up the class. You guys were just not asking me anything. But yeah. Fiduciary duty, it's the three... Okay, fiduciary duty, the three hallmarks of fiduciary duty are trust, loyalty, and fidelity. Trust, loyalty, and fidelity. And fidelity means faithfulness. Fiduciary duty is agency duty where the principal can't monitor and enforce performance. Generally, the principal is responsible. The agent is going to do what the agent wants to do. That's the agency dilemma. That's the reality of it. It is the principal's job to monitor and enforce performance. However, some principals can't do it. A marriage contract can't monitor and enforce. A child can't monitor and enforce. A patient who's under the scalpel can't monitor and enforce. So in very special cases where the principal cannot monitor and enforce performance by the agent is left with the highest duty implied by law, the fiduciary duty, the ancient duty of the knights, the ancient duty of the parents, the ancient duty of the gods to their creations, interestingly enough. But keep that in mind. It's such a fundamental thing that I do want to emphasize it. And even if I don't ask that on this test, I guarantee you I will ask it before this course is over. So remember that, as King Leonidas said, what we do in this life echoes through eternity. But also, what I say in this lecture echoes through the final exam. So as King Leonidas said, tonight we dine in hell. Or Cracker Barrel, I'm flexible. That's all I have for you. I thank you.